Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you are now tuned in to Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
We've been confused, and we've been gone. We've
Blessings, blessings. This is Alex from 2-7 Clash.
What's up, my brother?
Big up, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes, sir. This is your boy, Big Beef, man. I'm in the house, and I just wanted to get at you, man, and see what your movement is all about and your music and what statement you're trying to make out here in music today.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah. First off, big respect for having us on the show. My name is Alex, and I started a sound system, a dance hall mixed with electronic music sound system, about 1 year ago. It's called 2-7 Clash. And we started last July 7th. So right around that time, I was reaching out to different people who were kind of doing the same type of music. I had this vision of mixing electronic music and dancehall music. I've been into all sorts of different genres for a long time, you know?
I feel
so
you.
So I reached out, and I randomly kind of met up with this crew, this international future dancehall crew called Flex Up Crew.
Sounds like the business.
I don't know if your listeners are familiar with future dancehall, because it's relatively a new genre.
Okay.
But basically, future dancehall is the collision of like electronic music and dancehall culture. And we've got different artists from all over the world in the collective, maybe over 20, 30 countries in the Flex Up Crew, including Walshy Fire from Major Lazer and a lot of super talented people.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, man.
And
so what we do is also put on a show in Los Angeles. And this was really important to me because our crew, our collective is less than a year old also. It coincided with the beginning of 2-7 Clash. And I know that LA is the music center of the United States, maybe the world. A lot of labels out there, a lot of creative people out here. So I wanted to have an event where we can showcase different artists from around the world to play their style of future dancehall here in LA. And we accomplished that with an event called Flex Up LA.
Okay. Okay.
So the last Flex Up LA, we had Walshy Fire from Major Lazer. We had Kelly Bandulu from Italy. We brought in Craftsman from Boston, Young Trip from Seattle. We had Silva from New Orleans. And a lot of special guest, Jovi Rockwell, came and did a set. It was super great vibes. And luckily enough that the people at Los Globos here in Los Angeles on Sunset Boulevard, 3040 Sunset Boulevard, kept our vision alive and changed our date from a Thursday to a Saturday. So we're having our second event July 9th, and we're really super pumped on that.
July 9th, so that's going to be a big happening event. Are y'all ready for it or what?
Oh, man, we've been ready. Ever since the first one, we've got everything in place of how this cultural event is supposed to look like. We've got different kind of dancers. We've got different kinds of music. It's a pretty interactive situation. Everybody's vibing. There's no wallflowers at this event. Like, the music will make you dance.
It's going to make you move.
It's going to make you move. There's no other two ways about it for sure.
Well, let me ask you a question. This genre of music sounds like it's very new and innovative. Where did you come up with the idea, or who came up with the idea of infusing electric with dancehall?
Yeah, it's a good question. Basically, in my own personal vision, I kind of had this idea to do it because – for me, I've been producing for a long time. I've been DJing for even longer, and I've been DJing electronic music and dancehall music and producing just a little bit of hip-hop or different genres and never quite clicked. But then I was like, I would just want to follow my heart and do electronic dancehall. Well, I didn't know that there were other people doing it too, and it's actually called, as a genre, future dancehall or basshall or, you know, a name is not really decided like in stone, like a mumba tone. But it's similar to a vibe of mumba tone. And Major Lazer's are a huge proponent of it. They they've been doing this style of music for some time, and we are influenced by what they have brought to the world's table here. And people just love it. And it's going to be, like you said, it's a brand new type of thing, but it's really right. going to grab feet and take off.
Yeah, it sounds very, very, very cool. But when you say mobile tone, is it can I get the proper pronunciation of
mumbotone
genre of music? Mumbotone. Okay, now where
like
did this music derive from? Where did it come from?
I mean, it has future dancehall has some roots in mumbotone, but it has its roots in dancehall culture, and that crossover into the electronic or EDM culture as well. So it has its roots firmly planted in Jamaican dancehall culture. But
okay,
we're inviting other cultures to come experience that through our unique interpretation of an electronic dancehall.
So how big is the following with this new genre of music? Is it catching on, or are the young people, you know, vibing to it, or the old people trying to embrace it? I'm just real curious as to where this music is going. Where is it going, in your opinion?
Yeah, every time I play it to almost everybody, they like it. So it's the direction of that it can go. It's pretty substantial. I mean, it could go. It's already going around the world in like underground parties, but it's through our collective Flex Up Crew and through Flex Up LA, we're making more of a platform so it can get recognized by a lot more people. How far it can go, you know, I have no idea, but it's definitely it's going to be around for a while, and we really are vibing on the responses that we get when we play it to people, young and old, dancehall fans and hip hop fans alike.
Okay. So what you're saying, what I'm getting from you is that you feel that this music is firmly rooted and it's not going anywhere. It's the latest thing in reggae, reggaeton, you know, in the whole genre of reggaeton music, and infusing it with the electric music, it is now, you know, this new genre that is firmly planted and ready to blow up. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly the point that we're at in this whole thing. That's exactly the point that we're at.
Okay. Sounds really cool. And let me ask you a question. How long have you guys been a group in L.A.?
2-7 Clash, which is my sound. It's me and my friend Kimry. We've been around for almost 1 year.
Almost 1 year, okay. Relatively
almost
new.
1 year, yeah. July 7th will be our 1 year anniversary, and July 9th we're headlining Los Globos Saturday night Flex Up LA. So I mean,
July
it's coming
9th.
From just July 9th. So it's almost exactly a year anniversary from when we incepted this whole idea. So things have moved rather quick, but it's nice because everybody catches the vibe. Like at our last event, every single person said that was one of the funnest parties I've been to.
Let me ask you a question. It sounds like you guys are claiming to be the innovators of infusing these two genres of music. That's what it sounds like to me. Is that what you're saying?
As a crew, as a Flex Up Crew, we feed off of each other's creative talents and we support each other's music. And we definitely are pushing it in a direction that, I mean, the world's small right now. You know, I could call somebody from Italy or hit them up and say, let me get the newest tune that you made, or ship that over to Chile. So we're getting different types of future dancehall vibes from all different members of our crew in all different places of the world.
Oh, okay. And how is the rest of the reggaeton world embrace this new genre of reggaeton? How have they embraced it? Are they embracing it? Are they against it? What's your feeling?
My feeling is that they will embrace it, or they do embrace it. I don't have that much experience in the reggaeton community, a little bit more in the mumbotone, but in the dancehall community, the type of rhythms that are being made around the world, they take pieces from each other's cultures now. So it's almost like so many things are interconnected. But what we do with Flex Up LA and what we do with the Flex Up crew, it's basically Jamaican-based booty shaking music.
Okay, you want them to pop that thing is what you're saying. I understand.
They,
I get it.
Absolutely, and they definitely do.
Okay. And where does the idea of infusing this genre of music with electric, where did it come from? I'm just real curious as to where the whole idea was, where
mm-hmm.
was it born?
It was mostly born with Major Lazer. And they branched out to different artists. There's an artist by the name of Kick Rocks who also makes Future Dancehall. He might have claimed the name of Future Dancehall. There's other artists like Choppa Dunks and some other people that started in Ape Drums. They started doing it a few years ago. But it's kind of just recently been going to the being played at the big raves, been played at the big parties. So basically, it did start with Major Lazer and kind of branched off through a couple really important people.
Okay, and were you Flex Up? Were you guys a part of the birthing of this new music that came? Because you know, as we all know, music is always transcending. It's always
mm-hmm.
evolving. It's always growing. So would you consider your group a part of that movement?
I would say we're an offspring of that movement. Yeah, we're birthed
okay.
from it, from that, from Kick Rocks doing it, from Ape Drums doing it, and from Major Lazer doing it. So we're a byproduct
okay.
of just that whole kind of idea to do it. And we're really proud of the innovations that we bring to the table.
Okay, and what makes you guys, what flavor of this genre of music, what makes you guys have your own trademark stamp on this music? Like, how would I know the difference between your group and the other groups out there?
2-7 Clash is my sound system, and we'll be headlining at the next Flex Up LA event. Our particular brand is rooted in... we're from LA, so we like to incorporate the West Coast into our brand. And there's nobody else in Flex Up crew that's in LA, so we've got our little stamp on our cultural identity in Los Angeles. But we also incorporate big tunes from all sorts of people in the crew, and we go from there. You know, everybody in the crew's got a different kind of flavor. 2-7 Clash is in Los Angeles. Flex Up Crew
okay.
is the crew international. And we have Flex Up LA, which 2-7 Clash from Los Angeles is headlining. Also, we have another person from New Orleans. His name's Silva. And he's going to be also headlining. We've got Young Trip from Seattle, which he's a Rasta man, and he's been into the Sound Clash culture for a long time. He's going to be representing. And we've got a dancehall artist from Jamaica who is going to be our special guest. His name is London, and he's got a big tune right now called Perp. So it's diverse, you know. It's definitely diverse.
It
Everybody in the
like
crew's got their own style.
Yeah, and this is the other question I have for you, for your group.
Mm-hmm.
Who has been the major influence in this genre of music for you guys personally?
Personally, I think it would be Walshy Fire from Major Lazer.
Okay.
He's an international DJ, plays everywhere on the planet. He headlined our first event, and he guides lots of different artists from around the world to follow their ambitions of creating the type of music that they really have in their heart and their soul. So he's not intrusive in any way, but he's definitely a person that we admire and look up to. Family right there.
Okay. I feel that. Now, let me ask you another question. If this music is new and it sounds like the young people and people of LA are embracing this form of music with the whole electric, because you know, what do you guys ever have live, you know, instruments? Is that infused as well, or is it all, you know, computer, you know, based type stuff?
Sky's the limit, you know? I mean, it's really, it depends on what the producer wants to do. I know producers who use live instrumentation. I know producers who just use the computer software. So there's really no boundary to it. Like recently I was in the studio with somebody and he had a steel drum. So we're working on a future dancehall track with steel drum. So it's up to the imagination of the producer or the DJ. We would always like to incorporate live instrumentation to our sets and everything, but this is so brand new, we haven't even experimented with that yet.
Because it sounds like, you know, it could go in many different directions. Like, you know, for instance, like you can infuse some hip-hop and get a major cat, like, you know, say a Kendrick Lamar jump on a track. And
absolutely
something with, you know, with this.
Yeah,
type
I think all of that
genre
is in the future.
Music.
I mean, recently Rihanna's got that big tune Work. That's a dancehall tune, borderline future dancehall. Drake's got his big tune with Popcorn. That's a dancehall. I mean, it's creeping into that, but anything's possible. That's what our whole future is. Any kind of collaboration, we'd all be willing to do. So absolutely,
it sounds very cool, man. It really does. It sounds very,
yeah,
very cool,
sure,
and innovative. And it sounds like your group is definitely on the right track for true success in this genre of music. And let me ask you a question: culturally, am I correct in saying that, you know, you are not of this culture? So how are you being embraced being outside of the culture?
Which culture? Like a
African American. Yeah, the dance hall African American culture. You know,
well,
what's the feeling of, you know?
Well, having Wall Street Fire, having Wall Street Fire at our first event definitely brought in people who were curious about it. And he's got his reach in dance hall culture. He's from Jamaica through Florida. He's got all sorts of reach with dance hall artists, dance hall culture, dancers, everything. So after they came and they saw that, we've embraced the dancehall culture in Los Angeles. And first and foremost, that's who we want to come to our event, Flex Up LA, which is July 9th at Los Globos. But it's a multicultural event, so everybody's invited. Everybody comes and vibes on it. We got different kinds of dancers that do routines. There's going to be some people twerking everywhere. It's definitely going to be a super fun event, and we base it in that dancehall culture, Jamaican culture. So we've got Jamaican artists come through. We've got special guests. And we got Jamaican food there. It's going to be feeling like you're in a dancehall environment. Just the music's going to be electronic a little bit more. But we play dancehall everything, you know?
Yeah, I'm very curious, man. I'm very curious and intrigued by the whole movement. And it sounds like it could be something that's very, very cool and just ready to just blow up. It sounds like, you know, because L.A. is ready for that type of music right now. It's ready.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world, it's not just L.A., but the world is ready
the
for
world,
something
yeah.
new.
Uh-huh. And that's the thing with
new.
L.A., when it starts here, the world catches on.
Cool, man. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your time, brother.
Absolutely.
And good luck to you guys. July 9th, right? That's the big
July
event, 9th. July 9th.
Los Globos, it's free. If you RSVP through flexupla@gmail.com, it'll be free all night. So
cool.
If you get on that, flexupla@gmail.com, free all night. You know, massive respect for having us on the show. And huge, huge.
Big ups to you, man. I appreciate you coming out, man. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. I'm Big V, and y'all stay real.
Peace.
Yes, sir. My.
Some of all wise, some of them are Allah. Sight them up from me, satellite, and I send an army, a man, we protect, we bother. Tactically, please, MC from every corner. Some of all wise, some of them are Allah. Sight them up from me, satellite, and I send an army, a man, we protect, we bother. Tactically, please, MC from every corner.
What's good out there, y'all? How you doing? It's your boy Big Beef in the house tonight, and we're going to be interviewing Mr. David Webb.
One day, child, I won't have to listen to your lies. On that day, I'll be able to make up my own mind. You know, I think I done finally realized. Yes, I have. And now I think I can put you out of my life. I'm gonna be free. Yes, I am. Oh, Lord. I'm gonna be free, child. I'm gonna be free. Oh,
what's going on? It's your boy Big Beef, and we're gonna be interviewing Mr. David Webb from the Funk Museum out here in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio. And we want to talk to this brother and get some good information from this brother and see why he's so excited about the Funk Museum.
Very excited, Big Beef.
What's up, my brother? How you doing?
I'm outstanding, sir. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm just blessed, brother. Just blessed. So tell me about this Funk Museum. Is this Mr. David Webb?
This is David Webb, all the way from the land of funk, Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, the funk capital of the world, huh, my brother? I feel you.
Funk capital. This is how we call it. We call Ohio is the heartbeat of funk music, and Dayton is the nerve center of funk.
The nerve center. Okay, of funk.
Yes, sir.
So let me ask you a question, brother. When did you come up, or who came up with this idea of the Funk Museum? Because this, you know, I mean, I've been a funky brother for a long time, and I'm just curious, where did it come from?
Well, a lot of people, you know, had that idea. It's an idea, and a lot of people had thoughts and ideas about this back in the 70s and then the 80s, and stuff didn't really trickle down. But what I did with my staff of volunteers, what we did, we took – it takes 10 years of research. This didn't happen overnight. 10 years of research and talking to musicians, because I used to do production for a lot of groups in the area, and they used to talk about, well, we want to have a museum for ourselves. We don't want the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We want to have our own Funk Music Hall of Fame and Exhibition Center. So I said to myself, okay, let me go do some research. So we did research and visiting museums, getting feasibility reports, and then we just struck out. We struck out several years ago with this mission and vision to establish a home for the legacy of funk music by acknowledging the artists who brought this art form while showcasing the funk experience.
Man, that sounds so, so beautiful and exciting, brother. Now, in your opinion, who is the godfather of funk?
But, well, you know, there's different opinions. But we had to go back in the 60s when James Brown permed his hair and lied, dilated his side, where he had that little flood with his shoes and did his spins. And when he said, please, 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 you know.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And that's the man. You see, when James Brown put the funk on the one, the beat on the one, that's when funk became an epic part of this music genre.
I feel it. I definitely feel it. James Brown is definitely it was a major innovator in the whole funk movement. I don't think there was a brother funkier than that man. And I just want to give him his props. You know, I mean, he is known as the godfather of soul, but I have to deem him also as the godfather of funk for sure.
And you think about this too. Let's go back a little further. Well, let's go back to Little Richard. Now, Little Richard was a pioneer himself now. And a lot of those, like James Brown, played for Little Richard. If people didn't know that. And sung background.
I did not know that. I honestly did not know that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes. So, because if you think about this, everybody said, well, where did funk come from? You know, a lot of people have their thing started in New Orleans, back in a room. No bigger than like a 30 by 40, where, you know, like a little juke joint, and somebody came in and the brothers were playing, ooh, it's funky, and that's where that word came from. But, you know, back in the day, we couldn't say that word funk because it was not good to say, because old people would slap you in the mouth because that was a bad word, if you remember that.
Yes, sir, I do.
Yes, sir, I do. And then also, too, you know, then we can't forget about the great Isaac Hayes and Sly and the Family Stone, some lot of pioneers, you know, and I can just name a few. But them brothers took from the Stax Records and that West Coast sound, that Oakland sound, you know, that them brothers were really, really going. And that James Brown took that Georgia sound, and everybody kind of went from south to north to north to south. And then that funk music landed up in Dayton, Ohio, you know, in Ohio. You got from Cincinnati, you got Cleveland, Dayton, that triangle of funk, like me, Sinbad said. When me and Sinbad talked 3 weeks ago when he was in Cincinnati. He called me up. We sat and talked, and Sinbad said, Dayton, Cincinnati, that Cleveland area, all this, it's the triangle funk, because Dayton is the funkiest city in America.
Okay. And what makes it that funky, my brother? Please,
okay.
can you tell the people out here what makes it that funky?
How many rappers sampled Dayton groups? Ohio Players.
There's many.
Slave, Steve Arrington, Fazo, Roger Troutman, Aura. I can name, go on and go on. There's a group, Sun. Shirley Murdoch. There's so many groups out of here. We have 15 major acts out of even rap acts who sampled the Dayton sound, who put it out there. Man, Dayton is so funky. And also, Dayton is an innovator in flight, as you know, the Wright brothers, but Dayton is innovator in music. The way the bands came out of Dayton in the late 60s and 70s and 80s. Dayton is the funkiest place on the earth.
And I feel that right now. I really am. I'm feeling that. I was a little ignorant to the fact that so many famous groups have come out of Dayton. And as I was doing my little research and checking you guys out and seeing the whole movement of the Funk Museum, I mean, I was just like in awe of the fact that you were able to, you know, you and your group was able to actually make this come to life. And, you know, since it's fresh in my mind and it's fresh in the world's mind, Prince was one of the funkiest brothers out there. I mean, he was.
Yes, Prince, it was a great innovator. Matter of fact, we're doing a Prince exhibit. A young lady in Dayton, Ohio, knew Prince personally. Her name is Andrea Ford, and she's one of our curators that's at the end of July. She's dedicating and donating his tambourines, his stuff he wore, he ever gave us suckers, cards, letters, different things will be on exhibit. You know, the Power Generation jersey will be on exhibit here in Dayton, Ohio at the Northwest Library. We partnership with the Dayton Metro Library for education purposes. And we're a 501c charitable organization, and we are doing it. We have people from Sweden, Japan fly in. This is amazing how we're doing this.
It sounds like it, brother. It sounds like it. Matter of fact, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
In your opinion, why aren't there new groups that are coming out and supporting the whole funk movement still and making it relevant?
Well, because you remember back in the day, because I used to work in A&R, and it ain't like we just can drop $70,000 for a group to do a recording. Nowadays, people are sampling people's music. And for $5,000, I'm just throwing a figure out there, and going to the studio and taking these guys' music, say the Players or Sun or Platypus or Aura Dayton, you know, or Junie, you know, the great Junie, sampling One Nation in the Groove and putting a loop on it, and so record companies figure now, well, I don't have to give you $70,000 for recording stuff. I can just give you $5,000 or so or $10,000, and then I can make a killing off of that. So there's the groups out there are struggling. It's like I talked to Confunction, Michael Cooper. I talked to Steve Arrington. I talked to Keith Harrison of Phazo, different guys who have new albums, what we call them CDs now, out, and radio is not playing them now because they don't have a need for that. That's why the Funk Music Hall of Fame and Exhibition Center here in Dayton, Ohio, we are on a mission to make this happen one more time.
I feel you. Now, let me ask you this question, my brother. Is it possible in the near future for there to be an actual funk museum all lonesome, just like the Rock Hall of Fame? Is it possible
for us to have that?
Works
every day. We're working with an organization who's doing our creative renderings. It's called the Moody Nolan Group out of Columbus, Ohio. They're one of the biggest black architecture firms in the country. They're out of Columbus, Ohio, Moody Nolan. Look them up. They are on board with us big time making this happen. People are doing in-kind gifts. They're giving in-kind gifts. They're giving us stuff. They want to see this happen because this can be huge at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or even better, because a lot of people always say, hey, man, I want to be donated in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I said, dude, you're funk. How can you want to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And you can be right here at the Funk Music Hall of Fame and Exhibition Center. People who you know is doing the funk stuff, you're not doing rock, you're doing funk. So get in your mind, think about it. You are funky, brother. You are funky. You don't need to be in the Rock and Roll. You have your own home here in Dayton, Ohio.
And exactly. And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, it needs to be a special place for us to enjoy this genre of music, the true funketeers, the true funky brothers and sisters that have been out there throughout the past. You know what I mean? Like you say, like Fly and the Fat Family Stone, you know, the Daz Band. I love them.
Yes.
Confunction, Ohio Players. You know, these people, you know, that have been out for Zap. You can't mention Taste the Honey.
I'm gonna run down a list real quick for you that the groups are in Dayton, Ohio. You know, now check this out. We already know the Ohio Players. It's two sets of Ohio Players, but they're the same group. We got the Westbound Ohio Players and Payne. That's with Junie and Greg and all them guys, original drummer. You know, and then you got the Mercury. You know, Ohio Players. Then you got Sun, Heatwave, Lakeside, Slave, Zapp and Roger, Platypus, Aura, Dayton, New Horizon, Shirley Murdoch, Junie. Look, Steve Arrington's Hall of Fame, Phazo. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You know, man, these groups
are just
a taste. But look how many people who sampled these guys. Sampled them.
Right.
That's
major,
what we ask the rappers. And I know they hear me out there. And, you know, it's time to give back to the funk.
Exactly.
Give back to the funk. You know,
when we
like
think
our,
of funk, we think of,
we have Chief Funkin' Parliament. His name is Larry Lang.
Collins,
and we have the great Mudbone on the Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah.
One of our funk ambassadors. And he flew in from Paris and gave us memorabilia. We get him a memorabilia every day. Every day. And we have so many people. We even out in Los Angeles, we got the original drummer for Bootsy out there. He's out there doing his thing out there. Frankie Caswaddy. He's out there. And, you know, he's a funk ambassador. We got people from around the world, country. It's so tremendous. It's exciting. People are getting on board left and right. And I know, brother, I just got finished talking to Michael Cooper a couple of weeks ago. Michael said, David,
okay.
Webb, I'm sending you one of my guitars. The great Junie Morris
is
sending us stuff. You know, Mr. One Nation in the group.
Wait a minute. Did you say Jim Morris?
You know, Junie don't talk to too many people. But when he called me, he goes, Brother David,
okay.
Webb, I just want to say, you a funky brother, you're doing it. And a big ups to him, Steve Arrington, all them guys, man. We love you so much.
That's beautiful, brother. I mean, the sounds like the love has been extended and it's being recognized. And I just want to give you props myself for keeping the whole movement alive. Because in my opinion, man, today's music is not funky. In no way, shape, or form. And I think that the young people, they need to go back to their roots, go back in history, and, you know, embrace their history and embrace their roots and find out where all this music has come from. What's your opinion on that?
You know, I agree. I agree totally. What we're going to do is we're doing a music education, because it has to have a music education. Because you think about this. I remember when I was in the fifth grade, I played this, like, a flugelhorn, and that's when I got exposed to music. And let me tell you this. You know, when I got exposed to music like that, I took that flugelhorn home and worried my parents to death.
Okay.
And then
okay.
I got in church, and I being creative.
Well.
And then my music, and when I learned my notes, I learned education, because, you know, let me read something to you real quick. Let me read this to you. This, you know,
go ahead,
Art
go
Education
ahead.
And Partnership, in conjunction with the President's Committee on Arts and Humanity, commenced the study last year to examine the impact of art experience on young people and explore why and how young people were changed through their art experience. Evidence demonstrates that children with a high level of art participation outperform art poor students by what? Virtually every measure. This study, Championing Change, found much evidence that learning in arts helps develop habits that will support other disciplines, and it can often reach at-risk students when other disciplines cannot. The arts provide the young people with authentic learning experience that engages their minds, hearts, and body. Art education helps students to learn. It enhances creativity, self-discipline, and the skills necessary to meet the challenges and endeavors during their life. Now, how about that?
Man, you ain't said nothing, brother. You ain't said nothing. I heard all of it, and I understand. I got introduced into music in the fourth grade, and I was a percussionist. I played the drum, and I remember before I got a drum, I had a drum pad because mama
right.
was, you know, we was in the hood, poor, and we was just trying to. Mama couldn't afford to get me a snare drum for about a year or so. But when I did get my snare drum, I became, you know, very active in the band, the school band, and I began to read music and learn, you know, rhythmic patterns and stuff of that much. And then, you know, I had influence of that time, which was Parliament, you know, Bootsy Collins, and Ohio Players, you know, Confunction. You know, all those brothers, Zap, of course, you know, those are the people that, you know, Rufus, you know what I mean, you know, that really influenced me and kept me funky. You know what I mean? I didn't want no deodorant because I wanted to stay funky. You understand what I'm saying, brother?
Right, right, right. You got to stay funk.
Yes, I had to. And, you know what I mean, there was so many different, you know, people, time in the 70s, you know, where we appreciated live music, you know, people, brothers and sisters that could play an actual instrument as opposed to this whole electric movement and this whole vibe of the computer. And I understand, you know, I mean, we got to evolve with the time, but I mean, what's your feeling on on the side of people not being able to play actual instruments and just dealing with the computer.
Well, let me tell you the story. Like I said, me and Sinbad talked about a lot of things. Sinbad, I was in New Orleans with Sinbad at a conference, and we were sitting there talking for, hour. Because we talk about funk music,
okay.
And he had to go on a show. But he said his daughter had a producer, was going to produce a song for his daughter. So here we are. He was telling me about it. He said, oh, he was excited. So this guy came up, he was a producer. He had a drum machine. And he said, that's not a producer. And his daughter said, Daddy, he's a producer. She said, no. Where's the keyboard? Where's the music chart? Where's the notes? Where's this? Where's that? He said, he just got a drum beat. That's not a producer. And see, and this is what people and young people got to understand. Learn how to play an instrument. If you learn how to play an instrument, the world is your oyster. And then you get acknowledged. Now, if you sampling someone's stuff or doing a drum beat, anybody can do a drum beat with their hand. But if you know how to play an instrument and you play a guitar or a bass or a horn or woodwind or the drums and you got that beat and they see you perform, you actually are doing your own metronome and you're working your mind, you're marking your feet, and you're being competitive with everything's going, and you're getting in the groove where you're rocking your head. Not just someone's playing a record and you bouncing back and forth, but when you play that instrument, it stimulates
yes,
your
sir.
Mind, your body, and your soul. Art education
yes,
helps students to learn. That's what I tell people all the time.
Now it, the fact that now they, you know, let's just, you know, I don't want to go political or anything, but the facts are the facts that the government is not putting in. If we know that instruments, music is a genre that has, it helps the young people actually learn and it stimulates their minds and growth. And if we know this, why isn't it that the government is not more active in putting money into the school systems so that
yes.
we can grow some of these great artists that have come out throughout history? What's your
okay,
opinion
let
on
me
that?
Go back for a minute. Back in the 70s in Dayton, Ohio, a group, a little known group called Slave. You remember that group, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So Slave, they were like 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. They were kids who got a record deal. These kids were like a serious young musician, you know, these prodigies like that, and they didn't know about the music business. But think back then, music. We had marching bands, we had glee club, we had orchestra club, we had our city band. All this was big,
yes, sir.
And everybody was in the arts was big in the Dayton public schools. Now Dayton public schools cut that stuff out, and we're trying to get back that. Dayton public schools working on this. It's very important. It's needed. Now, we have a school in Dayton called the Stuyvesant School of the Arts. You have to audition to get in. But what about the rest of the kids? You know,
exactly.
Okay, they want to play football and basketball. That's good. I did the same thing, too. But music was a big part for me to something to fall back on. Because, you know, I play
exactly.
drums and I play keyboards. They always laugh at me because I play in E flat. So
man, ain't nothing wrong with that.
But I played by ear by picking up as a drummer. I picked up by
yes,
ear
sir.
On the keyboard. But me as
yes,
a drummer
sir.
In school in a marching band, and I played in street drill teams. And that's another thing I tell people, to get that funky feel in those drill teams, and that gets you hand and eye coordination. That's very important. But you know, but
yes,
again, being a political thing, they put money toward other things now. You know, it
yes.
gets political.
Yes.
It's very political. And what's going to happen is young people they're going to be dummied down. So that's why I'm
that's
asking
exactly
young people out
happening.
There to go to your guidance counselor, go to your
yes.
principal, go to the school board, tell them, I want arts back in public schools. That's important.
So how do we get that back incorporated in our school system? How do we go about doing that in a positive way to get these political figureheads to understand that this is very important in our social growth? How do we do that?
There's your senator. Find out who's your senator in your district. Find out who's your state representative in your district. Go to your school board. Get a petition. Petition your governor.
Okay.
These people,
okay.
you got to forget. People always want to blame the president. No. Go to your political people first. That's what's going on. It's your people, political people in your district. You need to talk to them, call them, bug them, worry them out. Get those petitions going in a peaceful way.
Yes, sir.
That's
yes, sir. And Big Beef is with you on that, brother. I mean, I'm just trying to understand what can I do to help with the funk culture, to grow it and to nurture it, to make it expand and blow up. You know, once again, like it was back in the day when we was young and vibrant back in the 70s, you know what I mean, early 70s, or I should say mid 70s, I don't want to date myself, but you know what I'm talking about, back in the day when your mama, you know, you had the little TV sitting on top of the big TV in the living room. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
When mama, they were doing the bump
on the radio, you have a voice.
Yeah.
Your voice,
yes, sir,
is major, going across United States and around the world. And like I said, and what you're doing, you give me an opportunity to voice the Funk Music Hall of Fame Exhibition Center in Dayton, Ohio. Being a part of what you're being a part of us, getting the word out, that's important. See, and what we're doing is we want to do instrument drives. We want to do things to help in the arts, to make this challenging, make it awarding, and make it help. And like I tell people, they can go to our website at www.thefunkcenter.org. That's T-H-E-F-U-N-K Center, and put it together, .org. And also, too, we are doing a television show, Executive 2-3 cable television shows, who we got award-winning in the state of Ohio. Now, think about this. On January this year, we got in front of the Ohio State Senate, and they said funk on the Senate floor of the Ohio State Senate. You don't hear about
what?
That.
No,
yes.
I didn't hear about that, brother. Educator, brother, please.
Yes, yes. If you go to YouTube and punch in the Funk Center, all one word, and subscribe to that our channel, see what we're doing. Sinbad, Tommy Davidson, Zap, different groups who come on the air. Michael Cooper can function. I can go on. We got over 80 videos of television shows we do, and we still got people like the Steve Miller Band who dropped by last Tuesday at the Funk Center, our exhibit space, to see what's going on. Now, think about that, the Steve Miller Band.
Man, that's beautiful, brother. That is beautiful, man. Steve Miller Band, big, that big. You know, I mean, all those people that you just mentioned are pivotal people in the funk world. You know, of course, Zap, Brothers Johnson, the Daz Band, BT Express, Fatback Band, Rolls Royce, Trouble Funk, SOS, Climax, all of them.
Yeah, now, you know, also, too, Climax, big props out to Cheryl Cooley. Cheryl Cooley is a big supporter of the Funk Music Hall of Fame exhibit. Cheryl Cooley will be here in September on Labor Day to do a benefit concert for the Funk Center in Dayton, Ohio. Wow. Yes, yes. And also, too, the great Joseph Wooten. Remember the Wooten brothers?
Yes, I do.
The Wooten brothers, Joseph Wooten came by. He's the keyboard player for Steve Miller Band. He loves it. He loves it. And he invited us to come down to Memphis, Nashville to say a couple of words down there to people. So this is huge. We are doing the thing. We are doing the thing.
Man, it sounds like it, brother. I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed. And you know what? The people out here, you know, man, matter of fact, out here in Cali, there's a club in Rialto called Raquel's. And Raquel's has a couple of funky bands that's out there. My boy Patrick Smith and Cha-Cha, they out there doing their thing out there in the IE in Riverside, you know, in Rialto, California. And they got some funk bands that's real, you know, real cool, that's doing it big on a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday, you know, night. And they kept trying to keep the funk movement alive, brother. And people like you that know how important it is for music, for self growth and creativity and innovation, all of that, brother, is what's needed in this world today, especially in the times that we're in right now. So I just want to, you know, make sure that everybody that you know, I appreciate you, brother. Big B is definitely appreciative for Mr. David Webb that's out there in Dayton, Ohio. When I say us, I'm talking about the entire funk world. So if you can say anything to leave us in the next couple of minutes, what can you say that would make people get inspired to keep funk alive?
Well, I'm going to say a couple of things. I'll be really briefly. The great Marshall Jones, rest his soul, from Ohio Players, who passed away a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
Someone asked him a question on our show. If you go to our television show, and you see where Marshall Jones dedicated his bass guitar, his gold records to the museum. He said, somebody asked him, "What is funk music?" And Marshall Jones said, "Funk music is the sweat off of God's feet."
Oh my goodness. Funk music is the sweat off of God's feet. You mean Jesus' feet is funking?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
And
what? Can we say that and not get struck down?
Yes,
brother.
We can.
Can we say
that? And that sweat got into the water, and that's why people say it's something in the water.
Oh, that's where the wine came from. Jesus' funk
right.
feet? Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
my gracious.
The Miami Valley and the Miami River, that sweat got in the river, and that footprint is there in Dayton, Ohio. That's why it's so funky here in Dayton, Ohio, and the Ohio Valley, the Miami Valley.
Man, I got to come out to the funk museum. I got to come out there and go see the funk museum in the fleshes. I got to see it, man. And when I get out there, brother, I just want to make sure that the funk museum opens their arms and welcomes Big B, real wide and big, you know
yes,
what I mean? Because I'm
yes,
a big,
big
swole type of person.
I
don't have a six pack, but it's all good.
Like
I'm working
said,
on it,
like
though.
Said,
I'm working
on, Facebook,
on it. It's summertime.
It's on Twitter. And like I said, you go to our website, you go to any social media, www.thefunkcenter.org.
Yes, sir, man. It's been a pleasure, brother. It's been a pleasure, man. I just want to let you know. We appreciate you, David Webb. Keep doing your thing out there in the funk world in Dayton, Ohio, brother.
Thank you, Big B.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir. I'd like to thank y'all for tuning in for Big B. Y'all been real, man. Peace out. What?
Your boy Big B, and we keep it fun.